right, everyone. I just want to welcome you all to the service today. It's good to see all of you here. And today, we're going to begin with just a short personal testimony about fire. I love fire. I especially love fireplaces. You know, the real wood-burning kind, and the scent of the wood just kind of wafts through the house and fills the house with that scent of wood. It gives you a sense of peace and comfort and coziness. My husband and I have this favorite restaurant. Maybe some of you, maybe you haven't been there. It's called Fox and Hounds. They have huge dining rooms with floor-to-ceiling, like fieldstone fireplaces. And it just really adds to the ambiance of when we're having that special date night and having dinner at our favorite restaurant. So that's one kind of fire. I also love campfires. Maybe a lot of you can relate to that. Sitting around them with family and friends, making s'mores, telling stories, roasting marshmallows, and using sparklers. So that's another kind of fire. I also love being on fire with the Holy Spirit. You know that feeling when the Holy Spirit speaks through you? When His Spirit says things that you could never think to say. When you're so on fire with His Spirit that you can't wait to hear what He will say to you and through you. Now, these are all different kinds of fire, but none of these fires are what I am talking about today. You see, these past several weeks, I have found myself in a different kind of fire, and boy, is it getting hot in here. I call it the fire of testing, and I want to begin with a few readings from God's Word. In Isaiah 48:10, see, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And in Job 20, he knows the way that I take. Where he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And finally, in Isaiah 64:8, yet you, Lord, are our fire. Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And that's Isaiah 64:8. So God is telling us in his word that he is the potter and we are the clay. We are all lumps of clay that God will mold and form into pieces of pottery that he will use to serve him. We are each a different and unique, one-of-a-kind piece of pottery, and he will use each of us for a different purpose. Maybe I'm going to be a serving tray, and you're going to be a cup that will fill others up. Or another might be a bowl that will hold patience and love. Or perhaps you will be a vase where God's glory will bloom. Now, God shapes and molds us, but he doesn't stop there. Because the clay is still soft, right? And not strong enough yet to serve him. Now, you're not alone in this fire. God is right there with us. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So, once we have been tested, God will take you, his piece of pottery, out of the fire. He will check you for cracks or weaknesses or imperfections, and with his mercy and grace, he will help to strengthen you and to repair those cracks that would hinder you from serving him. Once he has done this, he will now put on the glaze and paint us with spiritual gifts. Any of you who have made pottery will know what I'm talking about. Remember, Nicole, Kalahari, making the pottery, you had to fire it twice. Once he has painted and glazed us, he must put us into the fire, like I said, and he is going to be giving us these spiritual gifts he wants us to use. Through the fire, he will make our faith stronger. He will make us that perfect vessel that he will use to serve him and further his kingdom. He will teach us lessons we need to learn and make us ready to do what he is calling us to do. Now, this fire I find myself in right now, it's hot, it's hard, and it's not much fun. And I went to God this week and said, God, this fire, it pretty much sucks in here. There's anger in this fire. There's hopelessness in this fire. And yes, there is a lot of sin in this fire with me. So here I am this week, and I'm complaining about this fire. And God spoke to me, and he said, Terry, your anger, your hopelessness, your sin is all fueling this fire. But now I am going to burn all those things away. And when you come out of the fire, you will be my perfect vessel for my perfect plan. You see, I really, really hate this fire of testing. But when God spoke, I thanked him for the fire. I thanked him for strengthening of my faith. I thanked him for fixing my cracks and turning my hopelessness into hope, my anger into love, and my sin into forgiveness. In 1 Peter 1:6 through 7, God's word says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, do you find yourself in a fire today? Are you letting God heal your cracks? Are you using your spiritual gifts to serve him? Today, let us all say, God, bring on the fire. Let it burn hot and let it make me a perfect vessel for your perfect plan. And I just would like everyone to join me in a prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for times of testing in the fire where you purify and strengthen our faith and fix those cracks that may hinder us from serving you. Please walk through these times of testing with us, teaching us, guiding us, and helping us to become perfect vessels for your perfect plan. Raise us up, O Lord, and fill us all with a full measure of your Holy Spirit. Teach us to use our spiritual gifts in service to you. Thank you for your unending love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Jesus, you are our hope, our salvation, and our joy, despite our circumstances, despite our sin. Thank you, God, for your patience while we learn the important lessons you are trying to teach us. May our lives reflect you and your love to everyone we meet. Help us to shine your light in the darkness of this world, and help us to be bold in our witness of you and the amazing gift of salvation through your Son. God, we ask you to bring on the fire of your testing and strengthen us as we desire to do your will. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Words that flow forth from my lips today, be inspired by your Spirit. And may not I get the glory, Lord God, but you get all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a firm believer that as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, the house is filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And you never want to start to minister unless you bring in the Spirit of the Lord to release the word through you as the Lord's leading you to do so. And I've had a terrible couple of weeks. Terrible. I've been through a journey that I would not wish on anybody, but I'm going to talk about that today because the Lord doesn't want to hear me whine. Right? And he wanted me to share something I know because I called Pastor, was it Saturday? And I said, the Lord had me up at 2 in the morning Friday evening, and I was writing the word that the Lord wanted to release. And I believe that to be the case, so I'm going to release it this morning. And I pray that it's a word that edifies the body because we are in a very dark time. And so I say good morning, Ecclesia, which is the church or the body of Christ. And however small we may be, we are powerful, as I always say, in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord never looks at numbers. He never looks at our weaknesses. He looks at His strength and what He is going to do in and through us. And He says it to me as He whispers, yes, Wayne, you're going through some difficult times. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's going to be more difficult times coming. And as Terry said, I'm going to equip you to handle what's about to come, because it's going to get worse. And we know this not because Wayne says it, but because the Word says it in Revelations. Things are coming. The body of Christ is prepared for this hour to release what the Lord's going to have us release in this hour. And He wants me to release this Word over each one of us today. So I say good morning, and I say yes, and unless your head's in the sand, it's rather noisy out in the world right now, isn't it? Over the past several weeks, it seems that the noise has begun to increase at a rather substantial rate. And yes, I talk in the sense of what we are seeing manifest in the natural, but really, more importantly, I'm speaking of things happening in the spirit realm. We are spirit beings housed in the flesh. And if you don't have a relation as the body of Christ that we're talking spiritual things as we move forward in the earth, I ask that the Lord give you that revelation, because it's not about what's appearing in the natural. It's about what's going on in the spirit realm, and I can feel it. I've had such a heaviness in the spirit, both in what I see going on in the world and also what's been happening in my personal life, that I know that this is going on. And the Lord's telling us, tap into your spiritual eyes, tap into your spiritual ears. Now, perhaps that noise is even, dare I say, going on in each of your personal lives. I don't know. I'll be honest that noise has showed up on my doorstep, increasingly so over the last couple of weeks. And how I would describe it is it's a heaviness and even a torment at times, like I'm under spiritual attack. And guess what? We are. We're under spiritual attack in this hour. One of the worst 2 weeks, I want to say, that I've experienced in a long time. As a matter of fact, last week, I believe it is, when I left the church here, I wasn't able to eat for 2 days. Couldn't eat. Just couldn't eat. There was such a heaviness over me. But, and here's the but and the distinction between us and the secular world, but I walk with the Lord, and though I don't have a complete understanding of what has been transpiring around me, I have a pretty good sense of the state of the world today and the state of my personal situation, and so I had a choice, right? Succumb to the heaviness, right? Or turn to the author and the perfecter of our faith for strength, and then ultimately guidance through the storm. You may not know anything about me, but I'll sing in that back there because I'm asking, Daddy, come on in. Holy Spirit, come on in. Rain down. I don't care if the song's difficult. I don't care if anybody else is singing or not. I have a relationship with Daddy, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit one-on-one, and I can sit back there all by myself and sing, and He's going to show up because I have a reverence, number one, for the Lord. I understand what His Word says about how I'm supposed to walk in the earth. I also understand what His Word says about what's going to happen to me as I walk in Him. And He says, what? I have to focus on Him. I can't focus on anything else going around me, even the storm that I'm in. So that but works for me, but I walk with the Lord, and though I don't have that understanding, He does. He knows absolutely what is going on. I have a pretty good sense of the state of the world today and the state of my personal situation. I have a choice. And Friday evening, I was compelled to write a message for today as God wants to encourage the body in this hour, because we all probably feel a little heavy after being locked up for a season, and still so. And again, you can look at this in the natural. This is not a natural thing going on. It's not natural. You need to look in the Word. Very clearly, the Word telling us what's going on. I went to my computer, and the Lord started writing. God wants us to be encouraged, to understand what is necessary for the storm today, and for the storms that frankly lie ahead. And these are in my own words. I heard the Lord say, faith on steroids. It's not going to be found in the Bible. I'm not trying to be funny, to entertain. He's saying, faith on steroids. And not a contradictory word to the faith of a mustard seed. I'm not talking about that. Yes, we have to have the faith of mustard seed, but rather a simple concept if we dare embrace it. And speaking to me, was speaking to me as I'm doing it, the very essence of faith, the makeup of faith, and that being, and this is the word today, and he had it in me for a couple days, trust. You have to get this rooted in the core of your being if you're going to go forward in what the Lord's doing in this hour. And it's the Lord doing a lot of things. We like to blame Satan for some things, but Daddy's moving in the atmosphere. He's moving in the spirit realm, and he's manifesting himself through the body of Christ. Faith on steroids, and he's been trying to get me to this level. Trust. I can say I have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? Do you trust me? Do you trust me in the storm? You have to get to that next level, Wayne. Faith is trust, right? But I'm talking trust. It's a hard concept to understand for the body, but if you don't have it, you're going to struggle as we move forward in the days that lie ahead. He wants the body to understand this. You have to have trust. Trust in me. Trust in me. It's not your faith. You can't go to the body shop and pump up like you do physically. You can't read some self-help books to increase your faith. And boy, oh boy, as I'm being attacked, I had cried out a while back, and I'm going, Lord, give me more faith. Wow. He'll give you more faith. It didn't work quite the way I thought it would. He said, the way I'm going to give you more faith is I'm going to, as Terry said, I'm going to put you through the fire now. You ask for faith, I'm going to give you faith. Things going along pretty well for you? Yeah. That isn't going to build the faith that I want to put in you, because I'm going to have you standing as the light of Christ. And I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about everybody in the room, all you wonderful people created in the image of God, although it be few of us powerful in the spirit, moving out, so on and so forth. You want more faith, Wayne? Get ready. I'm going to bring it to you through fire. Because you ain't going to get the faith, my faith poured out into you, when everything's going perfectly in your life. And it was several months ago, and I kept praying, Lord, I want more faith. Lord, I want more faith. Give me more faith. Increase my faith. Okay. Buckle up. I'm going to give you more faith, and it's going to come through fire. Trust is faith. Trust is faith on steroids. From the book of Psalm 26, it says that, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And beloved, his right hand is Jesus the Christ. The word says some boast in chariots and some in horses. In other words, some in wealth and power and health and their youth. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen. Many have bowed down, many have fallen. But we have risen, and we will rise in every occasion and stand upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. And beloved, he does answer when we call. Are you calling him, is the question he asks for you and I. Is he your first lifeline, like the show? Or are you calling somebody else? Are you calling your own knowledge of the situation? Terry, you and I talked about this. We're going to fix it. We ain't going to fix anything. Daddy's going to fix it. Right? King Jesus is going to fix it. Now, maybe he'll co-labor with you as led by the Holy Spirit, but I wouldn't be so quick to run and rescue if the Holy Spirit isn't directing you. Daddy's quite capable of taking care of business. We just got to let him do it, and let him do it because we what? Trust him. We trust him with all our heart and all our soul, all our being. I say today, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not a part of it, not a small piece of it, but all of it. He wants it all. He's a jealous God. He wants every part of you. He wants to be first and center in your life, and he wants you to trust him. which is very hard to do for us that like to control things. I'm a manager in my secular job. I'm a daddy. I want to fix it. Denny, you want to fix it? Guess what? We can't fix it. Daddy can. Daddy can. And while daddy's fixing it, we need to put our trust in him. Right? Because I'm the type of person, I'm gonna bring it over here. Daddy, I want you to fix it. And I'm going to walk away, and then all of a sudden, the attack's going to come. You ain't doing enough. You haven't done what I, haven't done this, you haven't done that, and I don't have a peace about me. And if you don't have a peace about you and you're praying to daddy, that ain't daddy speaking to you. Daddy is not going to speak to you in anger and confusion and not having an understanding. And daddy's probably looking at me and saying, now, Wayne, didn't you just turn that over to me a couple of days ago? And now you're trying to figure out a solution. Have I come to you and told you to fix it? Right? Well, Daddy, this may not work out the way I want it to work out. Really? You're right. It isn't going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. I'm going to work it out the way I know is right to work it out. And it may not be what you think. But I hear you. I heard you 4 days ago when you told me to help. But you want to come grab it out of here, because I ain't working quick enough for you. Right? Because you're a manager and you're a controller. Right? Daddy's got it. Daddy's got it. Whom are we walking with today? Whom do you put your trust and faith in? The world? Man or woman? Your own understanding, that's my favorite. Your own flesh? Your own strength or the supposed strength of others? Are you running to spiritualists, psychics, doctors, therapists? And God will use some of those people. He ain't going to use psychics and spiritualists, but he will use doctors and therapists. Nothing wrong with that, right? But ultimately, dare we say our strength comes from the Lord God. And it's not a popular stance today. The body of Christ is now under attack. I'm not moved by that. We saw that coming in the book of Revelations. The end times, the church is going to be under attack, right? But in the end, the church wins. I don't care what the attack is out there in the world. I don't care if all of the people in my life come against me and say, Jesus isn't real. It's okay how this, that, and the other thing occurs. And I always say to myself, well, we got a problem because that same Holy Spirit that lives in me also, to some degree, lives in you. There isn't going to be an excuse standing before the throne room of God and saying, I didn't know. I didn't understand. You understood. I don't care if you never picked up a Bible. It's in you, it's near you, it's written on your heart. Now again, I'm not being critical. We want to bring those people to faith, right? But I'm on assignment for King Jesus. I have work to do in the kingdom. I have work to do for Daddy, right? And so it's him. It's not the world I look to for help. It's to him that I look for help. It doesn't matter what your friends or family are doing. Is God in the equation? Is he at the center of the stage of all things in your life? Is he prominent and deep within you, established in the very depths of your heart? Is he whom you call in good times, too, and not in bad? And I've gotten in the habit, every day I get up, and I walk the grounds that I live on, beautiful, and I've talked about this before, and I start to thank him. Because, man, what a beautiful place, It's not, I didn't spend a lot of money to purchase this. It's not about wealth. I'm not a wealthy person. But he blesses us so. And then I go into my tactic of going into warfare. It's warfare. I start pleading the blood of Jesus over everybody that I know, including you guys, all four of you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my daughter, my wife, because there's power in that. Because the word of the Lord says there's power in it. And then I let it go. And I go about my day. So I know that people are protected. I know that God's got them in the palm of his hand because I trust him. It's who we put our trust in. The psalmist in Psalms 4 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. And in doing so in peace will you both lie down and sleep because the Lord and the Lord alone makes us dwell in safety. And I haven't had a peace for a couple of weeks. And finally, I had to let it go and let God. And then suddenly, for the last 2 weeks, I'm at peace. Doesn't mean the problem's gone away. The problem's still there. but so is my God. He's still on the throne. He's still taking care of business. He's resident in me. I lay down and I sleep. I wake up for the Lord. He sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. I trust the Lord and I say, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For he has smitten all my enemies on the cheek. He has shattered the teeth of the wicked. They will not prevail. Evil itself will not prevail in the end, although it may seem it has its shining moments now. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe in Satan or demonic principalities, I'm here before you to say it's real. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it in what I've had to deal with the last couple of weeks. It's real. But so is my God. And he's stronger than that evil. And that evil will not prevail. Daddy God says we prevail as the body of Christ. But we got to do one thing. And I'm telling you, you don't have to remember anything else that I've said today. Remember trust. Remember faith on steroids. You have to trust the Lord your God. You have to begin walking out there and saying, whatever happens, take thee thy life, thy child, thy wife, you've lost nothing because the kingdom of God remains. That's the kind of trust he expects you to walk in this hour. I can't control what's happening in my personal life. Some of it I can, but he is in control of everything. He tells me you need to trust in me with all your heart. If you come to me with a prayer and supplication, let it go, unless I direct you otherwise. And he will direct, because he has us do things in the earth. But if I'm not getting a word from the Lord, and again, for those of us, Terry, that are control freaks, we are. You have to let it go and let God, unless he directs you. And I'm not saying that he won't. He'll tell you, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. Right? He wants you to go out and do something. We're going to be obedient to the word. But if you're all tied up in knots and all anxious and all uptight, oh my goodness gracious. I don't know if God's telling me to do this. I don't know. You're not hearing from the Lord. You are not hearing from God. You're hearing from somebody, but it ain't God, because when God speaks, now, he's spoken to me with an urgency to do something. I'm not talking about that. I've had dreams. I've had very vivid dreams where God has told me to do something. And then I'm a disobedient son on occasion, and I don't do it. And guess what? I don't have a peace in that vein. That's different than what I'm talking about. But when I pray to the Lord and ask him for assistance, say, Lord God, and I've been doing it for years, is there anything I'm supposed to do? Anything you want me to do? Do you want me to do? Bring me someone, show me something, and there's complete silence. And then what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to stand in trust and wait for the Lord. And he's going to renew my strength. Now, that's hard for us because maybe Daddy isn't going to answer the prayer in the way I want. And when I was researching the other day, and I don't know where I found it, I don't know the scriptural reference, if there is one. But the reality is, he said, if you ask, believing, you shall receive. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you this, right? I never understood that because people got prayed for and they die, right? People are sick and they don't get healed. And the revelation came, it's like he's going to give you what you ask for, or something better. And we may not think what he does in that situation is better, but it is. So I may ask for this, and he may say, no, that's not the right thing. It's going to be painful for you, Wayne. You're going to experience pain. Jesus did in the earth. But I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you something better. And even if he doesn't, in the end, he's given me the best gift of all. I get to be with him for an eternity. So you hear me singing in the background there. It's not because I'm trying to impress anybody with singing, because I'm so happy about what the Lord's doing. Right? I know where I'm going. I'm going to be 60 in October. I've had a rough life growing up. I've had some difficult things. But the reality is, I'm so blessed because I have him. If he takes my child, if he takes my wife, if he takes my job, I've lost nothing. Because Daddy still loves me. He's still with me, and he says, I got you covered, Wayne. I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you home for an eternity to be with me. The Lord is our strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. you better believe that our God is an awesome God. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thunders. He thunders over your problems. He does. He thunders over your problems. And we're all worried. Oh, my goodness. Is this ever going to get solved? Oh, my goodness. And Daddy's up there, and I bet he does this a lot. He's looking at me and saying, remember that message about trust? It doesn't appear that you're trusting me. And he wants you to trust him. Always. Regardless of what the circumstances present. And someone said to me one time, and I may have shared this before, Wayne, you've been praying for this. What if Daddy doesn't answer that prayer? Are you going to reject him? What if he takes this from you? Are you going to reject him? And I thought about it, and the answer is no. Because he has a right to take it from me. I came into the world with nothing. Guess what? I'm going to leave with nothing. I can't take my wife. I can't take my children. Everybody has to work out their own relationship with the Lord with fear and trembling. You can't save anybody. You can plant the seed. The Holy Spirit can grow the seed. But ultimately, Daddy loved us so much. In his great wisdom, he said, I'm going to give you free will. You don't have to love me. You don't have to serve me. You can serve the flesh. You can go do things that the world is saying they're good and say, well, why wouldn't Daddy allow this and that and the other thing? Because Daddy knows what's good for us and what isn't good for us. I don't agree with everything he says in his word, but it's his word, right? It's his word. We have to either choose to serve our flesh or to serve Creator Daddy, and I choose Daddy. Why? Because he's been with me in a lot of stuff. I've heard him. I've seen him in action. And I've also seen him where he's saying, you know what? I'm going to make you suffer. He doesn't desire us to suffer, but he's saying it's going to produce an eternal weight of glory. Jesus suffered all through his adult life as his ministry. He was rejected by the people that he went. He couldn't minister before his own family and his own community because they wouldn't accept him, right? And we've all experienced the same. You may not be the one that's going to save your daughter, Denny, because she doesn't see you in that vein. But your prayers, right? Daddy's going to answer your prayers. He's going to answer. And again, it may not be how we want it, but it's how he knows is best. Trust. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people. In Isaiah, it says, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who what? Wait on the Lord. Well, Daddy, my daughter's been ill for 20 years. Yeah. I'm asking you to wait. What? You need to wait on me. And it may not turn out, Linda, the way I want it. It may not. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust Daddy. I'm going to believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to cry. I've spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks crying, sobbing, of the pain that I have to endure and that is being endured. But you know what? It doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change the fact that I know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Daddy's got me covered. Whatever happens, Daddy says, I'm covered. He's going to get me home safely. I got to hold fast to the prize. He said, you're going to experience pain, but I'm going to embrace you in that pain. I'm going to see you through that pain, and I'm going to get you home safely. And I hear you. The minute you call out, even before you call out, I hear you. I just may not be answering quite in the timing you want or in the way you want, but I'm on it. Do you trust me? Denny, do you trust him about your daughter? Terry, about your son? Me, about mine? Do you trust me that I'm going to make it okay, that I'm going to take care of you even when the world is chaotic and falling apart? Right? It's falling apart out there right now. I'm not moving in fear. Why? Because I know who I serve. And the word says he's in control of everything. There isn't one of us in the room that's heart's beating right now because of our own strength, our own exercise. Yeah, we want to use good sense. We want to use precautions in COVID and all these other things. But ultimately, Jesus is keeping that heart moving. And if he says to you, you're done now, you're done. And if he says you're not done, ain't anything the devil is going to be able to do to stop it. Your days are written in his book of life. You can't add to them or subtract from them, right? But yet we walk around worrying all day long. Oh, my God. Oh, this is like... And Daddy's up there. And Daddy has a great sense of humor. And I said to Pastor Tim the other day, you may not want to stand too close to me because I've been having a little discussion with Daddy. And I think some lightning's going to come down. Because I have that relationship with him. What are you doing? 20 years. Yeah. Who are you to tell me? Is his response. I'm taking care of it. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Wayne? You don't trust me? Yeah, probably not. You better start trusting me with all your heart. That is the faith that I'm pouring into you. Not my faith. That's the faith I'm going to pour into you. Though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And I'm tired. They will walk and not become weary. They will walk and not become weary. The Lord says to us today, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he was talking about his son. All those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you but will not find them. Those who war with you will not be in existence any longer. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear. I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. So if I pray to you, Daddy, you're going to help me, right? And there should be no question about it. And he says, do you trust me, Wayne? Doesn't sound like you trust me. You believe in me. Do you trust me? And that's the lesson. That's the next level he's asking me to move into and the body of Christ. Let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. He's our hiding place. You preserve us from trouble. You surround us with the songs of deliverance. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in Jehovah, right, shall be safe. The word shall is a very powerful word, shall be safe. In his everlasting arms. And he tells us we cannot be assured of it. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. That's why I get excited to sing. He saved me, right? He saved me. Whatever happens to me, if I lose my job, if I lose my house, and God forbid if I lose my family, he saves me. He saved me. I'm going home. He's got a place prepared for me. I don't care about all this. All this stuff that people worry about, it's all going to go away. Everything that we have now is going to go away. So where do we put our treasure? Oh, I'm going to get the best car, and I'm going to get the best this, and I'm going to have 2.5 children. Never quite figured that one out. And I'm going to have a white picket fence. Maybe, and God wants to bless us. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing that. But it ought not be the first thing on your heart because it could be taken away just as quickly as it comes. Right? And some of us experience that. I was divorced, my first marriage. I lost everything. I lost everything. And I saw over time that God started to restore it all back to me. But I had a revelation at that time. None of that stuff matters. None of it matters because it can be taken away. He matters, and he can't be taken away if we keep our trust in him. Those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. We need to continually look to our God and trust him. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust, I love this, whose trust is the Lord. My trust is the Lord. Think about that. I don't trust in anything else. My trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. Trust. Purported to appear 134 times in the King James Version, I haven't checked that out, you Bible scholars, but check it out. But it's a lot, okay? It means to lean on something or someone. Well, God, God's a crutch. Yay! Thank God I need a crutch. I'm going through some pretty difficult stuff. You know, I talk about that tomato plant that, right? I killed Julie's tomato plant in 2 days. Yee-haw. 2 days I killed it. She told me not to touch it. I killed it. But I put a stick in there. Now, you told me this as I was driving here today because I think it's a hilarious story. I couldn't stop laughing. And oh, my gosh. But then he told me as I was driving, yeah, but you put support there. And now it's standing again. And the other ironic thing you brought to, you know, because I laugh about the wind. I opened the window, knocked the thing over. I didn't water it. I didn't touch it. But he said to me in the car on the way over, he said, yeah, and the wind of the Spirit is going to come to you. Are you going to fall over? That was the revelation he gave me. The wind of the Spirit is going to come to you because I'm going to refine you, right? I know you're having difficulty with what's going on in your life, but I'm refining you. Are you going to, or are you going to allow something to support you? And what does he want us to be supported by? The minute I put that stick in there, the Holy Spirit, the minute I put that stick in there, that plant stood up. Not on its own strength, but on the strength of him. On the strength of him. So I found it to be a funny story, but it's actually a revelation what he's doing in this hour. We keep thinking a lot, oh, the devil's doing this. This is happening. That's happening. Yeah, a lot of that stuff's going on. But God's also trying to refine us, trying to determine through our trials and tribulations with our children, in our businesses, in relationships, are you going to rely on me and trust me with all your heart? Because if you don't, I'm flat. I'm flat. I'm flat-lined. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can do. But when he comes up, he's going to lift you back up just the way you were before, if not better. And now you're not doing it on your own strength because Daddy is supporting you. He's supporting you. Trust means to lean on, to cling to hope, and not a false hope or deferred hope, to hope to know that something's going to happen either now or in the future, to be firm. It's the amen at the end of our prayers. Believe, confidence, rest upon. It's something positive. Trust. This is great. I don't know where I got this. Trust is faith become absolute. Trust is faith become absolute. I was reading last night and I found this online by a gentleman by the name of Charles Wesley Nalen. And I'm going to read this and I give him credit. I don't want to do something that the Lord hasn't. But it says, trust, a definite attitude of soul and mind, a realization of our own need and of God's sufficiency. It is reaching out and anchoring ourselves on God. Anchoring on God. And then he says, trust does not mean shutting our eyes to facts. There is no such thing as blind faith, right? Trust looks at things as they are. It sees the dangers that threaten and assesses them at their true value. It sees the need and does not try to disguise it. It sees the difficulties and does not discount them. But seeing all this, and here's the caveat, but seeing all this, it looks beyond and sees God. All his all-sufficient help. It sees him greater than the needs or the dangers or the difficulty, and it does not shrink before them. That's awesome. And then he says, finally, there is no fear in trust. There's no fear in it. It's awesome stuff. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I feel led to do that. You all look at me and say, but you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea what my life's like. And you're right. But we're going to touch base with just a very quick thing here, and I'm going to wind it up. We're going to talk again about Job because he's a perfect example. Okay? And I've talked about Job before, but I'm going to just highlight. You don't know how difficult things are for me. You're correct, I don't. But we're going to We're going to focus on Job. The Lord said to Satan, because Satan's, you know, out about looking to see who he can kill, steal, destroy, and he sees old Job there, just minding his own business. He wasn't sinning, right? He was leading a good life. He was the pillar of his community. He had all this stuff. And Satan goes, you know what? I'm going to shake things up a bit because, you know, he's only serving you because he's got stuff. That's what the gist of it is, right? He says, there is no, and God is saying, have you considered my servant Job? He tells this to Satan, because Satan, by the way, can't do anything unless he gets permission from Daddy. He's got to go to the throne room. Now, you can open a door, right? We can open a door through sin and other things, but he's still got to get permission, and he has to get permission to wipe you out. So if you're in relationship with Daddy, it's going to be hard. There's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Now Satan answered, of course, and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed him with the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand to kill him. He didn't allow him to take him out. Satan took the reins. Poor Job, minding his own business, serving Daddy. But the flood's going to come and the storm's going to come in, just like it's come into my life recently and probably come into many years. Guess what? I'm at peace. Little inside joke. I'm at peace. Yeah, not for long. Those oxen you had in the field, yeah, hate to tell you, but they've been taken by the Sabaeans. Gone. All his, and he had a lot. Gone. Oh, and by the way, your servants? Yeah, they've been killed with the edge of a sword by those same people. They're wiped out. Your oxen are gone. All those great servants you had? Gone. And about those sheep you had? Dead also. Destroyed. A fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and they consumed them. Whew. But I still got my camel. He had to be the bearer of bad news. Now those are gone too. Wiped out. Well, okay. You took my cattle, you took my livestock and so forth, and you took my servants, but praise you, I've still got my family. Not so fast. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's home, and a wind kind of came along in the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on them, and they're dead. Now he's lost his family, his cattle, livelihood. All this stuff was taken from him. What was his response early on? He arose, tore off his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and he worshipped God. Isn't that amazing? He just lost his whole family, and he had 10 kids or something like that, and they were all adults, probably married with grandkids, wiped out, all his cattle, all his servant. He worshipped God. He trusted him. He trusted him. It got worse for Job. How? It got worse. Got health issues, boils. Satan got to put that on. And his wife said, curse God and die. How'd you like that? Denny, body tells you, die! Yeah, you lost everything. Now curse the guy that did it and keel over dead. Ponder that moment. And what did Job say? He accepted, he said, and this is so important when we think about trust, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? That was his response to her. I get good, but I have to accept adversity as well. We enter the world with nothing, and we will leave in the same way, except be that we leave with God. Now, Job spent a good deal of time lamenting, and I tried to look and figure out how long he suffered. I initially thought, you know, people say, oh, a couple of days. It was at least a couple of months, and I thought it might even been longer. The scripture doesn't say, so I'm not going to say something that the Lord doesn't reveal in his word. But the reality is it was for a season. And I mean, he had friends come against him. You know, they're first of all talking nice about him, and then they said, well, you must have sinned. You know, why did this happen to you? And we all go through that, maybe if we even didn't. But the reality is it was for a season, and he lamented. At low points, he said, there is no arbitrator between God and man. He despaired of God's dealings. He felt God shattered him, and he had become a byword. His spirit was broken. He felt insulted. He felt everything was against him, and he took issue with God. And I do that a lot. That's having a relationship, right? Really, God? Again? You don't think 20 years is long enough? You got to give me another one? Right? We lament. But it doesn't mean I don't trust God. But I have a right to have a relationship and be in communication. We talk about it all the, we talk like that all the time, you know? And then I get done ranting and raving. I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. I don't want a spiritual spanking. I've had some of those. They're not fun, right? God eventually talked to Job, and in the end, he gave him some wisdom and knowledge. But I love it because he's dealing with Job in the end. He said, really? Did you lay the foundations of the earth? Right? You're telling me I don't know what I'm doing or that you know it better than me. I love it when Daddy talks. He put him in his place, and he's had to put me in my place sometimes. Trust. 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 No problem, God. Seems odd, but you tell me to prepare an ark, and an ark I will prepare. Right? Noah. My world as I know it is about to be wiped out. Really? God comes and said, I want you to prepare an ark because I'm about to wipe out the earth. Everything you have and own, I'm going to take apart. You need to build an ark for me. Did Noah go, well, I need to know this about why? No. He trusted God. And he built the ark, and his family and him were saved. His life wasn't the same after that, right? Didn't matter. He still had God. Abraham, no problem, God. You tell me to go to a place that I will receive for an inheritance. I have absolutely no idea where you're sending me, but I'm going. He went, right? Early on, he went. He became an alien in the land that was eventually the land of promise, right? He trusted him. I would have been saying, hold on a minute. Where am I going? You know, what's it going to be like, right? Not so much anymore, but back. You say at 90 I'm going to have a baby, Sarah said. 90. Really? 90? Yeah, I'm going to give you a baby at 90. Now, she doubted at first, right? But because of her faith, she was able to conceive through God. And she had a baby. Promise. Abraham, do you trust me? Terry and I, you and I talked about this. Offer up that son, Isaac. I want you to go put him on the altar. I think I would have had a hard time with that. Right? Put your child on the altar. But he trusted God. And ultimately, God didn't take the son, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go sprinkle blood on the doorposts as a Passover again. Seems rather odd. But you commanded it, and so I will obey, Moses. Blood on the doorpost. Right? Trust. Hey, Gideon! God, great sense of humor. We're going to have a conversation about that, Daddy. Deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? Or you? Right? By the way, I've got, 32,000 men to do the job? I'm set because I'm looking in the natural. Yeah, it ain't going to work. Daddy, I think I'm going to cut down that number to, 10,000? Go. Take that enemy on. 10,000 from 32. Hold on a minute. Just kidding. Daddy, such a sense of humor. You get 300 men because it's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about the power of horses or chariots or men or women or children. It's about me and my glory flowing through. So I'm going to go from 32,000 men to 300 men, and you're going to defeat the enemy. And he's saying it to you and I today in the room. You keep looking at the things in the natural. I'm not a natural. I'm a supernatural God. And I'm well capable of taking care of your problem if you'll put your faith and trust in me. Not in chariots, not in horses, not in your own knowledge and understanding of the way things are operating in the world, but in me. Do you trust me, Wayne, over your daughter? Do you trust me, Terry, over your son? Do you trust me, Denny, over your daughter and Bonnie? I am in control. I don't need 10,000 men. I need you to trust me for what I'm about to do through you or for what I'm about to do through somebody else, but I'm on the job. This is the hour the body of Christ has to get a revelation. It's no longer church. It's no longer all the programs. It's who we are. We're supposed to release kingdom power in the earth as led by the Holy Spirit. We don't need 10,000 in the church to do it. We can do it with this group here because every one of you, Heather, anointed by God to do what the Lord's telling us to do in this hour. And if you think it's going to be easy, you've been deceived by the enemy because he's going to refine you by the fire. He's going to cause you to go through things, the wind of the Spirit coming on you to cleanse you, to move in kingdom anointing and authority. We are the church, and it's very powerful if we get revelation. Daddy God is speaking. I want you to trust me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, not be moved by what's happening in the world around you. Because I didn't cause you to tremble in fear. I gave you a sound mind. I gave you a spirit of power and anointing. We can't keep going back to elementary principles. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're the church. And Jesus was powerful as the head of the church, and he said he left and gave us that same anointing. Yes, we are going to experience human emotion. I cry because of what has happened to my daughter. I cry because of things in the earth. But I'm still on fire for Daddy. I'm still on fire because Jesus is resident in me. And I'm not stopping till I get home. And I want to grab a few along the way because people are perishing out there. Satan's deceived them, closed their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, telling them, just live whatever life you want. It don't matter to Daddy. He loves everybody. He does love everybody, but he's also a just and righteous God. And he says, I don't want you to do this. Don't do it. What's the difference between us and the world? We say we aren't going to do it. I don't understand it, Daddy. I don't understand why you've allowed this, but I trust you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And I'm going to cry to you, Daddy. I've been crying for 2 weeks. Why are you doing this? Because I'm God, and because I know what's right and what's best. Trust me, and I'll get you home. Trust me, and I'll get you to the promised land. We have to make a decision. We can't be on the fence any longer. Either you're with him or you're without him. Time's short. And Daddy says, be with me. There's some awesome stuff in that. But he gives us a choice. Serve the creature or serve Creator Daddy God. I didn't make myself. I don't know how my heart keeps ticking, but I know one thing. He is in control. In the midst of my pain, he's in control. And I have to choose. Am I going to keep serving him? Jesus was in pain. By gosh, he hardly get to the cross. He was so beaten and flesh coming off his back. He got to the cross because he was on assignment, as you and I are as well. He says, I'll give you my faith. And it's faith on steroids, and it's perfectly capable of doing everything I want to accomplish in and through you. So Terry, when the attacks come, Heather, when the attacks come, remember who you serve. He's not moved by it. You start to tremble in fear. Yeah, have the human emotion. Nothing wrong with crying and feeling pain. Jesus wept at Lazarus' death. But the reality, he wasn't moved by it. Get up, arise. And he's saying the same to each one of us. Trust in the Lord is the word. He wants that word resonant in you today. Trust in the Lord. The secret of trust, putting it into practice. We can't just say we have trust. We have to put it into practice by making it such a dominant theme in your life that you view absolutely every event, every sorrow, every prayer with unshakable conviction that God is totally, spotlessly trustworthy and in control. Your wants may not agree with God's wants, but accept that God knows what is best for you. Amen.